On this episode of What's Going On, we're delving into a conversation that affects every single one of us, the water we drink. We're talking about the lead crisis in our communities, how it started, why it continues, and most importantly, what we can do to stop it. I'm joined by three powerful voices in this fight. Dr. Yana, together with Paul Swartz, an expert in environmental health, and Robert Miranda, a veteran activist who's been sounding the alarm on lead in Milwaukee's water for years. This is more than a conversation. It's a call to action. Let's get into it. Don't miss it, airing this week on all streaming platforms. Follow us on Civic Media US or wherever you follow your podcast. Please like and subscribe as well. Civic Media, and we are going to get into a discussion that I think many people may be unaware of across this nation, a very important subject that has been, you know, basically covered up for decades, something that is at a crisis stage across our nation, and a government that refuses to be truthful about it. Something that has gone on for far too long. And what we want to do is we are going to try to shed some light on this topic. And the topic is lead in the water. And, you know, we've all heard about lead paint and all those kind of things. But I think once we start moving on this subject and get into some depth with people, scientists, and others who are as versed, well-versed as anybody. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring forth people who are as well-versed on this subject as anybody all over the nation and the world. And I want to begin with a man who is a good friend, and all I know him to be is a Pier 6 brawler when it comes to things that aren't right and aren't just. And so I want to welcome a good friend, Mr. Robert Miranda. He's with Fresh Water for Life, a.k.a. FLAC. Good morning to you, Robert Miranda. How you doing, brother?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning. Glad to be here. And as always, a pleasure to be part of anything that you do.
You know, man, you and I go back a while, and before, you know, I had white in my beard and hair, and you had some in yours. And so it's been a while, Robert, but this issue, let's talk a little bit about Robert Miranda, who you are, and how you, you know, arrived at the forefront of this subject that is so critically important to our nation.
Sure. To start with, I was born and raised in Chicago, and throughout my young years, my teen years, my father and mother, who immigrated here from Puerto Rico, arrived in Chicago in the late 1950s, hardworking, decided that they want their children to attend Catholic schools. So I was enrolled in a prestigious high school in Chicago, De La Salle, which was an all boys.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
It's an all boys institute in Chicago. And during those years, I was not only given good education of mathematics and reading and comprehension and all that, but also taught the lessons of the Jesuits and De La Salle, and found that this man, who is now a saint, dedicated his life to fighting for justice. And I took that to heart. And when I graduated, I tried to enroll into Notre Dame. The income and finances didn't work out. So I decided to enlist in the Marines. And I served from 1980 to 1990. Was medically discharged. Arrived in Milwaukee in early 1990. Actually, in early 1991, because I had to serve, I had to be treated for my injuries at the medical facilities for a year. And then when they finally released me, I went and relocated to Pittsburgh, had a son. We moved the family to Milwaukee in 1991. And began attending the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. During my tenure there, I became president of the student body, implemented programs focused on Black history studies, the Roberto Hernandez Center, created that, put together the UPass program, UWM, where students can, through their tuition, obtain a pass to get into the Milwaukee County transit system and bus rides 7 days, 24 hours from wherever they could travel on the bus to get to school. Did my time at the university, graduated, and began my work in activism, not only at the university, but when I graduated, got into the community and started doing a lot of work on different types of issues, ranging from fighting against racism, fighting against policies that were detrimental to the communities. One of the biggest fights that I engaged in was to prevent the state of Wisconsin of becoming an English-only state, which was a very interesting experience. And then started doing work in prison reform issues. And then back in 2002, I was informed by the Marine Corps that I need to go to the VA to get myself checked up because they had finished all their studies and found that Marines who were stationed in Camp Lejeune were getting sick and suffering from various different cancers. And when I went and got myself checked, that's when I found that I had been suffering from some liver damage that they connected to the water there. And that's what got me interested in the water issue. It was the fact that, you know, drinking that water, which everyone all these years thought was safe, got me sick.
So, Robert, let me, before we get into where we're going, I have to say this. When I first took notice of you, there was a loudmouth conservative talk show host in the city, known across the nation. Just a loudmouth, foul, crude guy who was basically free to say whatever it is he wanted to say. And he referred to people as wetbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You remember this conversation?
And, oh, yeah.
And he was able to get away with that, and people were afraid to take him on, except for one Robert Miranda. And you took this guy on. Not only did you take him on, you took on that very powerful, powerful radio station.
And
they did not want to do anything to address his issue and what he said, but you led that fight, man, and he got suspended, and it showed the fight that's in Robert Miranda. And if you're gonna get into a fight with Robert Miranda, you better bring your lunch pail, right?
Yeah, that was indeed an experience as well. I mean, it was a fight that showed me how, you know, hey, all skin folk ain't kin folk for one. And it also showed me the levels of power. You know, during that fight, you talk about Mark Belling. He and I got into it very well, and he used his platform to attack me for almost a year.
Yes,
I mean, he was just.
But
so
you stood
livid.
Strong, man.
Yeah, he was, and the fact that I forced his employer, Clear Channel CEO, to come to Milwaukee from Texas to meet with me at the Pfister Hotel.
Man.
And Clear Channel tried to buy me off with offering some pretty amounts of money.
You know, Robert, it was clearly David against Goliath. Yep. No question yep. whatsoever.
And like you said, we got him suspended and we forced him to apologize on the air. But he's never, even to this day, some people tell me he mentions my name on the radio every now and then.
And you were, I can tell you, man, you didn't even mention it, but I never told you about it that I had known. But man, your combativeness, your willing to stand up and fight to the death for what's right.
I gotta tell you. I think that's all because of the Marine in me.
Yeah. Yes, probably. So you were actually standing on the wall.
Hey, yeah. I was on watch and I saw that I was about to be overrun. So I said, "Well, might as well put up the fight."
but anyway, man, I digress. So Robert Miranda, the whole thing about Flint, Michigan, and the national implications of what was taking place in Flint, Michigan, with the poisoning of the population there and the cover-up that took place and the national exposure that it rendered. And so for a long time, that was in the news.
Yep.
Media, and it was nationally. People were talking about Flint. They didn't know anything about Flint, a little small town, and it became national news. Did that have any impact on what took place in the city of Milwaukee and why you decided to take on what in Milwaukee was not even exposed, and the fact that you when you began this quest to take on City Hall in the city of Milwaukee, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying earlier, when I found out that the Camp Lejeune water had indeed caused my health to deteriorate, I became more interested in water. And at about that time when the Veterans Administration informed me of what the situation was, about a year later, this issue in Washington, D.C. blew up. And I took an interest in that because I saw an article about it and I said, oh, let me follow up on this, see what this is all about. Because I was like researching what was going on with the Camp Lejeune water, and then I started seeing this thing in D.C. And when I found out what was going on in Washington, D.C., that they've started experiencing mysteriously this huge increase in infant mortality rates. And they didn't know what was going on until one researchers came forward and started talking about the water in DC. And that's when they started realizing that the city, DC, went ahead and changed its chemical in the water and forced a serious leaching of lead in the water. That's when I started realizing, wow, this is real serious. And then that's about a few years later, that's when the Flint issue caught my attention. And so I said, oh, okay, there's another one. And so the Flint issue went ahead and started blowing up. And I thought to myself, you know, okay, well, you know, I wonder if Milwaukee has lead pipes. And I started looking into Milwaukee's situation. And about that time, around 2014, I read and followed up with some research that Milwaukee experienced a historic number of water main breaks. They blew the numbers off the charts in that year. It was a huge number of water main breaks. And so I said, okay. It wasn't until the following year, around late 2015, that then reports started coming in that Milwaukee was experiencing a huge number of lead poisoning spiking in the city.
Well, was that prior to or before the cryptosporidium outbreak?
That is post-cryptosporidium. Okay. Cryptosporidium happened in 1993.
Oh, okay.
The situation with the pipes here in Milwaukee happened in 2014, and then the spiking levels around the late 2015. And so when I saw the spiking levels of lead poisoning in Milwaukee increasing, I called a meeting together with some very good, loyal, and powerful friends, Chris Johnson from Kingfish.
Right.
And I even had
a great journalist.
Yes, he was awesome. And
he had some muscle too. He had some muscle with you as well.
Oh yeah.
Black Panthers.
I had the Black Panthers join in with us. Old members of the United Spiritual Soldiers. We had a lot of good, powerful muscle.
Because yeah.
I knew this was going to be a fight. And so when we got them all together and I broke it down to them, what I'm hypothetically or theorizing what's going on here, they saw it. They said, you know what? You're right. I think there is a connection. And so then that's when we formed the Freshwater for Life Action Coalition. And we started putting out information about the pipes in Milwaukee. And it forced the then Barrett administration to come out and try to refute what we were saying, because we had created our own online magazine at the time, the Kingfish, to broadcast what we see happening in Milwaukee with our lead issue.
So for those who don't know, Barrett is Tom Barrett, the former mayor for 17 years for the city of Milwaukee. Go ahead, Robert.
And so they then held a meeting in January, and when I mean they, the city, because we were getting this information out and it looked like at the time it was starting to attract attention, the city, put together a meeting with the Milwaukee Common Council Steering Committee and had all the heads of the departments of the city come to that meeting to talk specifically about Milwaukee water and how safe it is. And they had the superintendent of Milwaukee Water Works, the commissioner of Milwaukee Public Works, and the commissioner of Milwaukee Health Department all show up with their supporting staff to basically refute some of the information we were putting out in the public through Kingfish in regards to what was going on with Milwaukee water. Now, mind you, nobody knew anything about lead pipes and the water from the time that we started. Nobody was talking about it. Nobody dealt with it. And when we started putting it out, the information, we were hosting town hall meetings. We were hosting community events. We were informing the community, the pipes are poisoning our community. And at that meeting that the city had with the Milwaukee Common Council, I was watching that meeting. They basically told so many lies and misinformed and misled all the aldermen that were sitting there, the only alderman that would challenge what they were saying was Alderman Joe Davis. And he was challenging what they were saying, and he was spot on what they were trying to convince the steering committee of what's going on with the water. He was refuting them and he was challenging. And I said, good for him. So then as we began the process of organizing in the community and pushing the issue, every time we would write through Kingfish our findings and what we were seeing going on, the city would respond with sending out all of their people to try to dismiss what we were saying and hide the information we were putting out there by not debating us, but just telling people that they're following EPA guidelines, they're doing everything that they are supposed to do. But the reality was they were not doing what they were supposed to do. They were not properly informing the community. For example, you know, I always tell people, you know, when the EPA tells you the action level of lead in water is anything that's over 15 parts per billion, when we talk about that 15 parts per billion, or when we talk about that parts per billion number, the reality is that's a number that has never been health science documented. It's not health science based. So it's basically a number that some bureaucrat at EPA pulled out of his butt and threw into the mix.
So Robert, it because I was there and saw all of this, I was had a radio show back then, and we were covering a lot of those things. The city was basically pushing back and saying, because the state of Wisconsin, or the city, I think it was, received an award dealing with the lead paint issue, because the focus had the city of Milwaukee sued the lead paint industry. I don't know if it was the city, but this was a national lawsuit against lead paint.
And the city was involved, yes.
Right. And so they wound up receiving compensation. And so they were thinking, okay, we'll agree with you if you say it was lead paint. We're not arguing that. Okay, we know that that's a problem, but they did not want to have any focus on the water, Robert. They were willing, as I recall, they were willing to go back and say, okay, kids are being exposed to lead paint, but not lead water.
They didn't want to even mention lead water in the same
when you first started this quest, right?
Yep. They would not want anyone to look at the lead water issue, because basically the liability then falls on the city. And if people started realizing that exposure to lead poisoning our children is really a multi-source exposure, people would say, well, you know, that's fine, you're doing something about the lead paint, but, you know, why are you so silent and not telling us about what's going on with the lead pipes and tainting our water with lead? And that's where we became the pariah of the city hall, because we were putting that out there saying, you know, you could go ahead and get all the federal funding you want and all the lawsuit money you get from the lead paint industry for dealing with lead paint and dust and stuff, but what are you doing to clean this mess up with the lead and water? And so their response was always to hide behind the fallacy of the EPA guidelines and the recommendations of the EPA and the DNR and everybody, which were guidelines and recommendations that were just laced and polluted with just nonsense and nothing really science backed or based.
So Robert, people would have to try to wrap their arms around the fact that what you were exposing was generational poisoning.
Right.
That had gone on for generations in the city. And so They did not want to even begin to think about having to deal with that. They wound up firing the guy who was the what was Dr. He handled the health.
Oh, Dr. Baker?
Yeah, Dr. Baker. They wound up firing him, or not, maybe not firing him, but force his resignation because they tried to blame him for all of what was taking place.
Yeah, the whole situation around lead and water started to expose the fallacy that, as the city was touting prior to our being involved in pushing the issue of lead and water, the fallacy was that the lead program at the health department was the best in the country, was a national model. And
that the water was safe.
Yeah, and that the water was safe, and we challenged that. And it started but the research that we put out there gave people information to go to and review. And once more and more of the public started reading what we were saying and then following up with what we were saying with doing their own research and doing their own findings, that's when they started realizing we were right and the city was hiding something. The city was lying. And it got to the point over the next couple of years from 2016 to about 2018, when we first started challenging, they would fill the committee rooms. And I say they, the city would fill the committee rooms with all their supporters and all their professionals. And it would just be me and about seven of our people challenging all that constantly in these committee rooms. And over the last 2 years, you saw those committee hearings and those committee rooms of their supporters dwindling and more of our supporters growing. And that's and we knew we were onto something when in 2017, the superintendent of Milwaukee Water Works, who was considered one of the national leaders on the issue of water and was a member of the National Science Board of the EPA, all of a sudden, abruptly resigned and left Milwaukee.
You know, Robert, I remember coming down to City Hall with you guys as you came to the mayor's office with television cameras, and the mayor refused to come out, and you just kind of, you know, let him have it right there. And so once the news media got a hold to it, it kind of took on a life of its own, didn't it?
Oh yeah, it definitely took on some legs. It started. I mean, when we got there, they thought for sure. One of the reporters said, "I thought for sure the mayor would come out and challenge what you're saying," but he didn't.
Right.
He didn't. And we stood there in front of his office, breaking it down, and saying, "He's not going to come out here and challenge me." Because, you know,
you had facts behind you.
Yeah, he made a mistake trying to challenge me when they had a symposium at Marquette University in September of 2016, when they were talking about actually lead and water, and they brought their keynote speaker, Dr. Edwards from Virginia Tech. And the mayor was standing there in front of all these people at the symposium. There was over 500 people, all muckety-mucks of all of Milwaukee were all there listening to this because everybody was interested in what's going on with the water now. And he got up and he started talking about the water and how safe it was and that they had tested and everything is in perfect order. And my colleague, Paul Schwartz, who you know, who was attending that, and out loud called him a liar right there in front of everybody. And when the moderator, Mike Goucher, who moderated the event.
Well-respected asked, man.
Yes. Asked anybody in the audience for a question. I got up and the mayor looked at me and I just looked at the mayor and I said, the one question that I think started to make the house of cards fall. And the one question was, you have a baby. Would you allow your baby to drink that water from your tap unfiltered. And he hem and hawed, and he's had to say no.
You know, Robert, for the sake of time, you kept pushing. You kept pushing. You kept doing research. You connected with people nationally and internationally, and was able to basically corner the city on the lead pipes. And, you know, they didn't even know. I don't know if they were aware of the problem with the lead pipes before you started making this noise, but then they were forced to admit the problem with the lead pipes. So because of the involvement of you and the people that you had with you, to make a long story short, people are now doing everything within their power, not just in the city of Milwaukee, but across this nation. You brought that attention to lead pipes.
We worked with a lot of good people. We worked with experts. We worked with people who, in Flint, we made a very good relationship with groups in Flint. One of the activists there, Melissa Mays, was a good supporter of ours. She actually came from Flint to Milwaukee to speak about what's going on in Flint. We did a lot of great connecting with a lot of people who knew the truth, knew what's going on, knew the politics, and we were able to glean from them a lot of their experience and applied that experience in Milwaukee, and basically saw that everything they experienced was also being replicated in Milwaukee. It was like there was a blueprint for covering up this issue. And we were able to get that exposed. You know, I mean, you mentioned 1993 and the Cryptosporidium. We always tell people, you know, during that time when no one really was thinking about these pipes and that whole situation happened, at that time, the city told the public to boil their water.
Right.
But no one mentioned the fact that you have to be careful. You should filter the water when you're boiling it because it'll be with lead. And if you boil the water, it gets worse. The toxin gets much more insidious. And we looked at the records and found that years later, the crime rate in Milwaukee escalated, shot through the roof. And so, you know, there are a lot of correlations and links that if they would really do epidemiological studies to determine what caused all this, I have no doubt lead and water would be the culprit that many would point to.
So, Robert, let's now move to why we're having this discussion. You have certainly made connections with national people and people from across the globe dealing with these issues. And now it's not just an issue in Flint. It's not just an issue in Milwaukee. It's an issue all over this nation. And so because of that, with your support and help, and you've assembled a group, we have assembled a group of really well-informed people, Robert, and we are going to begin a series of podcasts bringing people in to educate people from across this country and across this nation about where this nation is, where people are. And Robert, the cover-up that continues to take place in this nation, the American people are being poisoned.
Right.
And they may not believe it, but part of what we want to do in this series that we are putting together, Robert, is to educate people on what is taking place. Let's talk a little bit about the series that we're getting ready to kick off.
Now, you hit it succinctly. It's basically a series that is designed to not only give insight and provide information to the public, but to steer them towards where they can do their own research and find their truth and find the truth. You know, don't just think that this is what I said. Challenge us, challenge what we're saying. Go and do the research yourself. Find out exactly if what we're saying is spot on with everything. If we're spot on, then get out there and organize and fight, because the government isn't going to do the right thing here. Governments across the country, the federal government especially, is not going to spend the money that is needed to clean this mess up. And this mess is destroying communities all over the country. It's destroying educational opportunities for our children. It's making our streets unsafe. Lead is the most silent and most toxic metal out there that is used often and is in almost everything. But it's also one of the easiest things to remove from the environment. But there is never any effort to spend the kind of money that is needed to remove this toxin from the environment. And, you know, the Romans learned this lesson during their time. Lead is a toxin that makes people sick, and it causes people to be unreasonable, irrational. It affects the minds. It affects the children. You know, there's new studies out that we're going to be talking about during this study, during this series, that talks about how lead poisoning not only affects the health of children, but also affects the health of adults, and how it's linked to coronary issues and other things. It just, you know, the information that we're gonna be putting out there for folks is designed to not only help you fight back and fight to protect your health, but to fight the government and tell them it's time to stop focusing on building $500, $300, $1 billion stadiums and take that money and use it to clean the environment of our cities and our communities and our rural communities so that we can live a quality of life that we as taxpayers pay into for. You know, and that's what we want.
You know, Robert, it's so well said. I always say that, you know, we live in a representative government. You know, and we've got a government that is supposed to be looking out for the health of its citizens. As a matter of fact, we spend almost $1 trillion a year on military, supposedly to protect the American people. So people are concerned about somebody coming from overseas. And so we're going to protect the American people. That's what we're going to do. Whatever it takes, we're going to spend that money. But for heaven's sakes, Robert, Shouldn't they be protecting the American people inside of the border as well? Shouldn't we expect our government to be looking out for the best interests of the taxpayers and the people of this country? And truth be told, Robert, you have helped expose the fact that they have not been, and that they're refusing to. And that's one of the main reasons you've organized some very intellectual and well-studied people that we are going to be having this conversation with, Robert. We're not talking about some guy we got off a bar stool.
Right.
We're talking about national people of prominence as it relates to, you know, water.
Experts in the field.
Right.
These are going to be people who we're going to be talking to are going to be people who have been working on this for more than 20 years or so. It's the kind of quality information that people can use, that people can speak to without being called out as putting lies out into the public or false information. This is going to be quality information for folks to basically lead the campaigns of change in their own communities. And so this is going to be a very good, important series coming up.
You know, Robert, a lot of this is, and why this is so critically important, is fetuses And moms, I've learned so much from you and this well-educated group of people who I've had the pleasure of doing some shows with. Fetuses, mothers can, if she's lead poisoned, can pass this on to the fetus.
Yep.
And I mean, come on, man. So at some point in time, this has to stop.
Yep. No, it floors me when I give presentations or talks, and I bring that up during my presentation. There's a room full of women in there who don't know this. They just do not know. To go and simply take a blood lead test to see how much lead may be in their body. But they never did. Most mothers, most women of childbearing years do not do that. And they should, because as they are with child and their blood lead levels are high, they are tainting the fetus that could cause miscarriage, that could cause all kinds of damage to that fetus. They're breastfeeding. If they're breastfeeding, that milk can go from, lead could go into that milk into the baby. It's just an important information that especially women of childbearing years need to know how lead impacts their bodies and what it does to their future, what it does to their children who are going to be born or about to be born.
You know, Robert, we're at a critical juncture. We've got a president of the United States who wants to cut back government, who clearly says things that we can't afford. And so this issue with lead that we're talking about is certainly going to cost, man. Okay? This is going to be in order to eradicate it, Robert. You're talking tens of billions and maybe even, you know, 50 billion or more dollars.
Hundreds of billions of dollars,
Robert. But what is that to a nation, you know, again, that spends $1 trillion a year on military? We keep hearing people say we can't afford to fix this. What do you say when you hear people inside of our government saying they can't afford to fix this?
Well, we can't afford not to. You know, the bottom line is, what's more important, that we have a nation of healthy individuals or a nation of sick individuals? You know, what is going to be more productive for the workforce, a healthy individual or a sick individual? What's going to be more valuable to the country, sick people or healthy people? You know, We have ways to reduce the Medicare or the medical cost in this country by simply dealing with a toxin that we know is harming a vast majority of Americans. And if we can deal with removing this toxin from the environment, we will eventually see the savings of that. We're going to spend, yes, but our children are going to inherit a healthy community, and their children are going to inherit a healthy community. And in turn, the country will inherit a population of healthy individuals that will be able to contribute to the economic strength and viability of the country in the future.
You know, Robert,
it's very important.
The last thing I want to say to you before we bring this to an end for today is our nation knows about the scourges of lead. There once was lead in the gasoline.
Right.
You remember, you and I were old enough.
Yep.
And they were able to determine that lead in gasoline, the damage that it was causing to people. And guess what they did, Robert?
They removed it.
Yes. So come on, man. We're not talking a foreign language, right?
Right.
I mean, people came together and fought and forced them to do that.
Exactly. See, but they learned from that.
Yeah.
Because they learned that if you get more information about lead to the people, they're going to force you to make the change. So this time around, what they did was they did not put the information out to the people, and they covered up information with false information. And so this has been going on now for the last 50 years, providing misleading false information to the public about the safety of their water, because they learned with the whole thing with the gasoline and lead in the gas. If you inform the public too much, the public's gonna get mad and they're gonna force the changes. This time, don't inform the public right and don't give them the right information. And they learn from that. And so now we're trying to make that change where people get that information to make the force that is needed to make the government do the right thing.
So that's the one and only Mr. Robert Miranda, who is really, man, just, you know, my heart. You know, I love you, man. I know the battle. I'm glad to be in it with you. And we're going to force the change because it's the right thing to do, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. That's Robert Miranda. Robert, we'll be in touch soon.
All right.
Love you, dear brother. We'll talk soon.
Love you, too. All right. Take care.